chapter 6. Into enemy territory. Into enemy territory. A Russian author, whose name I can't pronounce, said this: "The man who lies to himself and listens to his own lie comes to such a pass that he cannot distinguish between truth and lies within himself or around him. And so he loses all respect for himself and others." End quote. You got to wonder, when people run to Ziklag, are they taking a weekend trip or are they relocating? In Ziklag, we fall back into old sinful patterns. We ignore dangers and we embrace sin. We choose to relocate permanently sometimes. And here I would say to you again, if that's the intent, this is somebody who's either jumped over the cross or tunneled under it. For the child of God will not inadvertently, permanently disengage and divorce our Lord. We convince ourselves that the land of obedience is actually the cause of our discouragement and our disappointments. It's that path of obedience that caused all these problems. Therefore, we go and we set up camp in enemy territory. And make no mistake, Ziklag was in the land of the Philistines. This is enemy territory. This is not neutral ground. And here's what's so important for you to understand. Anything but where God places you is Ziklag. You can't just say, well, hey, what's wrong with this? Or what's wrong with that? Or what's wrong? Hey, look, there's plenty of nice oasis to choose from. Wrong. Bad theology. Where God places you and puts you and calls you, it's the only right and righteous place. Everywhere else constitutes sin and Ziklag, no matter how beautiful or how comfortable it may be. This is absolutely critical that you understand. There are danger signs. Moore says, how do we know if we're in danger of landing in Ziklag? Here again, some very helpful points. Number one, we say things like, I've lost the desire to read God's word and to pray. My want to for that intimacy is gone. Now, ask somebody, have you lost your intimacy to be with the Lord? Are you reading your Bible? I have not lost my intimacy, and I do read my Bible, thank you. Fact. But there's no faith. The question is not, are you obeying the letter of the law and doing these tasks? The question is, do you want to? Are you energized and fed? Are you encouraged and lifted up to get with God and His Word? Is your heart leaping to be with Jesus and His Word? Without the divine GPS, without this constant, steady feeding and leading from God and His Word, Moore says, without that, you're heading to Ziklag, whether you know it or not. Second, you say things like, I'm not moved by experiences that used to move me. I don't get the spiritual goosebumps that I used to get. In short, I'm numbing down. The numbing process almost always leads to Ziklag. Excuse me, the song that used to stir you, eh. The account that you hear of God doing a work in somebody's life, you now have a little bit of skepticism. Yeah, I'm not so sure that's real. It's such a subtle, insidious, cancerous problem. Third, we say things like, I'm tired. I'm just tired of waiting on God. I'm just tired of waiting on Him. I think it's time I take matters into my own hands. Moore says, if you're living in Ziklag as you read this or hear these words, you know it. You know you're there. Somewhere along the journey, you lost a sense of intimacy with God, and you became indifferent towards the spiritual things that matter to Him. You've surrendered to sin. That's what you've done. You've surrendered to sin, you know it, and you've settled for a life of disobedience. You've embraced the sin and says more, hear me. Again, you're going to think we're brothers. You surrendered to sin and settled for a life of disobedience. You've embraced the sin, and it's everybody else's fault, of course. It's everybody else's fault, of course. Here again, we're brothers. Moore says, and I echo, I pray that God will use these warning signs to help you move back home. I pray that God will use these warning signs to help you to move back home. In Ziklag, you end up living a life of lies. Ziklag is not a place where we relax and recover. No, says Moore, it's a place to engage, albeit in the wrong things. It's not a hiatus. You go to Ziklag and you get plugged in. You look busy and you present yourself as well, when really you're so sick. So, so sick. An interesting phenomenon about living in Ziklag, Moore points out. For the believer, there remains a desire to please God, even when we distance ourselves from Him. We want the credit of being busy and looking good. And so we do the superficial. We live the superficial. But, says Moore, a life in Ziklag demands a life of lies. By definition, if you're there, you're living lies. In Ziklag, David had to hide his lies, which led him, David, to do the unthinkable. You see, he had to lie about attacking the enemies of the Philistines, who were now protecting him. So in order to cover up the lie, because the Philistines wouldn't want him attacking and hurting the Philistines' friends, he had to lie about the people that he was actually fighting against. And in order to cover up that lie, he had to kill every single person. No survivors. That means women and children. He would murder to cover the lie that came from self-counsel that allowed him to live out disobedience, because it was easier and he was tired of walking the path of obedience. And I say to you, friends, you are going to be shocked at some point in your life, if you haven't been already, and you'll continue to be shocked when people that you thought were in the family will do the most egregious things and then do more egregious things to cover up the egregious things that they've already done. And you'll be shocked. And here's the key, please. Go back and allow the actions to inform the attitudes. Allow the behaviors to reveal the beliefs. Do not listen to the lips. Watch the lives. And know this. A life of lies and cover-up, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. That's why these people that live in Ziklag, they never find true peace or joy. Well, they work feverishly to present it as though it's there. But if you know them, if you really know them, you know there's no peace. Down deep inside, they're the most turmoiled people, because they're living a lie, and it's a lot of work. Keeping that persona up on the surface about kills them. About kills them. If it weren't for the power of fear and pride, they'd never make it. Sadly, some make it all the way to the end, and their shock and their dismay happens when they come before Jesus. My prayer is that we'll love people enough to be used of God to help them come to that turning point before it's too late. Now, check this out. Again, Moore is very insightful. He says, sin never rides alone. Sin always comes in a two-for-one package. Listen to this quote. When sin gallops up, you can be sure its partners are galloping alongside. Jealousy rides with envy. Gossip rides with slander. Pride sits tall in the saddle with selfishness, defensiveness, and greed kicking up dust right by its side. Unforgiveness runs with bitterness. Lust takes the back roads with promiscuity, pornography, and adultery. Where sin shows up, you better believe it's come as a posse. One sin leads to another and leaves a dusty trail of destruction. It's been that way ever since Adam and Eve. Now, When we focus on ourselves, when the sin takes over, Moore says focusing on ourselves forces us to forget others. How we live today determines how we will be remembered tomorrow. He asks the believer to think about, what do you want people to think of when they hear your name? What do you want the glory of God to be seen as through the living testimony of your life? We tend to focus on ourselves. That's part of the disgustingly human reality. We tend to focus on ourselves. That leads us on a trail of pain and hurt. He says, quote, the decisions we make today matter for tomorrow, to us and those around us. Moore says, I have counseled wounded individuals. I have counseled wounded individuals who cared enough to confront a friend heading to Ziklag, but that friend ended up being estranged from the person because they were accused of being too judgmental. He says, 1 Corinthians 10:12 makes it clear, we're all at risk of this. We need to remember that nobody goes to Ziklag alone. Not only does sin ride in pairs, if not a posse, when you and I go to Ziklag, we bring a lot of people with us, directly and indirectly. Those that will literally, physically follow are in danger and will be hurt in Ziklag. But there's also a ripple effect. When we go to Ziklag, the ones we leave behind get hurt. Think of the principle in our context. Man runs off with his secretary. Well, you know, we're all adults here. Well, what about the kids? What about your grandkids? What about the witness of your professing walk? You know, beware the home wreckers. Just think about it. A home wrecker shows up in your home and says, hey, don't sweat it. My home wrecking days, it's behind me. Listen, you're a home wrecker until something changes. And you need to be cautioned. And you need to be careful. I had a man that I worked for in Detroit, Michigan, who told me once, Jeff, everybody leaves footprints. He says, look at the footprints of those around you. See where they've come from. I found that to be great wisdom. Those that have a history of home wrecking are home wreckers. Those who have a history of lying are liars. Unless and until something changes, nothing's changed. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. Remember, you never go to Ziklag alone. Your trip always impacts those that you leave behind. A not so relaxing escape is how Moore puts this time that David spends in Ziklag. He says, we have to wear a concealing mask when we're in Ziklag. We need to convince others that we've never been better and that our plan of action is working so that nobody will suspect that anything's wrong. It's not relaxing to live in Ziklag, even though the people in Ziklag want you to think that they're kicked back at the Caribbean beach, just chilling. It's not so. There's this presentation, this mask, says Moore. He said, David knew that he was living a lie. David knew that he was living a lie, and he's putting on this presentation. You see, the double life burns energy in an effort to keep up appearances. Presentation is very heavy. It's a big part of our life when we're all about appearance and not about substance. How things look is what takes precedence and priority. Moore says, life in Ziklag demands that you talk and act in ways that make people think that you're spiritually full, even though you know that you're running on fumes. When you know that there's deception and a lack of transparency, you know there's trouble. That doesn't come from the promised land. That comes from Ziklag. Matthew 23, 27 and 28. Jesus offered forgiveness to the prostitutes and salvation to the women at the well, who had made a hobby out of husbands. He had dinner with the self-serving tax collectors. He even showed mercy to the thief on the cross, but he had little patience with the Pharisees, who were all about presentation. Jesus told them that like whitewashed tombs, They looked beautiful on the outside, but on the inside, they were filled with dead men's bones. Although they appeared to be righteous, they were like actors, pretending to be someone they were not. That's Moore's commentary on Matthew 23, 27, and 28. Not only is there this presentation of mass, there's this promotion that, no, I'm doing great. Everything's wonderful in Ziklag. See, trusting God demands that we wait on his timing and his plan. When we don't want to do that, we'll go to Ziklag. When we do that, we've got to convince people that everything's good. Otherwise, we're exposed in our sin. Moore says, people caught in Ziklag, people caught in a double life, change their language. They change their attitudes. They change their stories to gain acceptance with the different groups that now represent their new social circles. A double life rightfully raises the question, hear me, who are you? Those living double lives force you and me to ask, who are you? The person that I used to know, David? The Goliath slayer used of God? Or the one who's willing to kill women and children to cover up your lie because you weren't willing to walk in faithful obedience with the king? Who are you? Are you the giant slayer? Are you a Philistine now? It's a very hard place to be, not just as the David figure, but as the friend figure. Please learn from this what God would have. Tragically, says Moore, David concluded that it would be better to live with the enemy than to die depending on God. Ziklag is the place to go when you don't want someone to find out where you are. Ziklag is the place you go when you don't want people to find out who you are. And Ziklag is the place you go when you don't want anybody to know what you're doing. Whew. Put Ziklag in a whole new light, doesn't it? Ziklag is the settlement of a person who's cutting corners, says Moore. Ziklag is the place you go to hide from God and others. Ziklag is the place you settle if you really want to keep your secrets. There's danger in this double life. And if you're living in Ziklag, it's time for you to come home. If you're living in Ziklag, it's time for you to come home. We see regrets and restoration in David's account. You see, Satan wants you to stay in Ziklag. Satan desperately wants you to stay in Ziklag. Because Satan knows that you, as a child of God, you're saved. However, Satan also knows that you're rendered ineffective. Satan knows that you are rendered ineffective while living in enemy territory. Remember this, and then we'll take a break. Satan, he's the father of all lies. Satan says you can't when God says you can. Satan says stay when God says come home. Satan says it's okay to say won't to Almighty God. It's not okay. Don't settle for a life in Ziklag. Ron Moore says it, I say it, I beg you, do not settle for a life in Ziklag. Repent and turn. Come home and leave your regrets behind. Three thoughts to reflect on, and then we'll take a break. Number one, what practical steps will you take today to stay away from Ziklag? What practical steps will you take today to stay away from Ziklag? Number two, do you know a person who has moved to Ziklag? Do you know a person who has moved to Ziklag? And three, how will you approach those that you know who now live in Ziklag? deep, personally applying questions. We've covered the two sections of the book, Running Hard and Running Away. I want to play another song for you as we take a break. It'll take 10 minutes and just digest what you've already heard and learned, and know that we're going to come back and we'll close out our time about another hour, and we will focus on running home, and we'll see what God has shown us through the victorious life of David, and how in Christ, you and I, Christian, or you lost person who's jumped over the cross, can come back and walk with Christ in victory out of Ziklag all the way back home to the promised land. Amen? Amen. Let's go ahead and take a break. We're going to play this song. It's just words, but words that have a huge, huge correlating and paralleling truth to what we've already heard and what we'll finish with at our coming back time. Amen.
Sometimes you gotta run into the arms of danger. Sometimes you gotta be the sacrifice. Sometimes you gotta say things that don't come easy. They say just follow your heart. Yeah, but what if it lies? God only knows how to play this game called life and living. So hold me, light a candle. Tried to make you love me. And I really should have known it'd make you run. Some people always want just a little more than